This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome to day number two of two at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. Sold out event. It's been a great event so far, and we're continuing to meet new people and talk to old friends who we've seen at various different Bitcoin conferences over the years. This is our third year at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, and it's the event's third year, so great to see that it was a sellout here at the Canyon View Event Center. Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. Because we are here on location, we won't be taking phone calls. In fact, we're pre-recording all of our interviews just because it makes it easier for our guests to come in and sit down with us. And yesterday, and by the way, it's Ian and Mark here. Yesterday on the show, we had a guy on, John Sacco, who's a physical Bitcoin collector, and he was very opinionated about the upcoming potential fork, or what looks like it's going to probably happen, the fork into what's called SegWit2x. And for listeners that are brand new to cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, Bitcoin is, of course, the world's first decentralized cryptocurrency. It's, you know, taken the world by storm. It's over $5,500, close to $6,000 per unit. You really need to learn more about Bitcoin, and I would recommend you go to Bitcoin.com in order to do that. If you want to get started, you want to get the basics about Bitcoin, that's a great place to go. Or even if you're old school and you want to learn the latest news headlines about Bitcoin, news.bitcoin.com, they definitely have it over there. But I wanted to bring Sterling on the show here. Sterling Lujan, who is actually the communications ambassador for Bitcoin.com, to talk about the other side of what is coming up in about 2 weeks, which is this fork. Another historic fork of Bitcoin. The first one happened back in August with Bitcoin Cash forking off, being the very first ever, second Bitcoin or competing Bitcoin, if you will. And it's still there. It's successful. It's not going anywhere. Bitcoin Cash exists. It's a thing. Last week, there was this thing called Bitcoin Gold that forked off to not that much fanfare. Really, not many people are talking about it, but it did happen. And in a couple of weeks, there's this SegWit2x thing where they're going to fork Bitcoin again. A number of companies have gotten together. They came to an agreement back in May that they were going to implement some controversial changes to the Bitcoin network to hopefully increase its ability to handle the transactions that are being thrown at it, because Bitcoin, as we explained yesterday, is full. It's full of transactions, and that has resulted in the fees being bid up and the fees going crazy. I spent $2.50 yesterday to send a Bitcoin transaction, and I can remember when it was 2 cents to send a Bitcoin transaction. So, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. So what are the proposals? How are these things going to be fixed? Well, it turns out the Bitcoin community doesn't agree. There's been online fighting that has been going on for years now, and it's really coming to a head in this next couple of weeks here as people are digging into their positions and they're saying we should or shouldn't increase the block size. This is the big controversy. Is this block size has to do with the technical, you know, behind the scenes of how Bitcoin works. The short version here is there's a blockchain. That's the distributed ledger. It's a public ledger. That's what essentially is the guts of Bitcoin. And these blocks are mined onto the blockchain that contain the transactions. Those blocks are full. And so one of the proposals is to double the block size. Sterling, the guy that was on yesterday, John, he says that Bitcoin can't ever be what Visa is. That it can never scale to that size due to technical factors of the ever-growing size of the blockchain itself, the network's size or the bandwidth that you would need to handle transactions like that, because the idea behind Bitcoin is it's decentralized, meaning that anybody can run, in theory, one of these nodes, the thousands of nodes on the network. So how do you address that particular objection? Because obviously, when we started doing this, we thought this was going to be able to compete with Visa. Do you think it ever can? He says it can't.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Bitcoin can and will compete with Visa. It just depends on how we go about actually scaling it into the future. And we have to remember that Satoshi Nakamoto, the original creator, the enigmatic creator of Bitcoin.
The anonymous.
Yeah, the anonymous enigmatic creator of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. His plan, or her, or group, or whoever it is, was to do massive on-chain scaling for Bitcoin. and for Bitcoin to get as big as it needed to be, for everybody to use it, for it to be a peer-to-peer anonymous cash system. And originally there were block limitations, there were cap limits on the blockchain for Bitcoin, but those were put there to be expanded. The reason they were there to begin with is because if you have too large block sizes, then people can more easily spam the blockchain, clog up the blockchain, and cause potential problems. But it was meant to be elastic. It was meant to be changed and expanded as the network grows. So its scalability is supposed to increase alongside adoption. And this can still happen, but there's a lot of people who've come into Bitcoin, and they're new people, and they've kind of pushed out the old folks, and they're wanting to look at Bitcoin as more of a commodity. They want to make it into a settlement layer and not prioritize massive on-chain scaling. But if people are going to use Bitcoin, they have to have access to buy their coffee, they have to have access to buy bubble gum, and that's the whole purpose of it. It's supposed to be peer-to-peer cash. It's not supposed to be something else, and technically it's not even supposed to be digital gold. Yes, it can be a store of value, but only as a result of what we call the network effect. And that just means the more people that get involved in Bitcoin, the more value, the higher the value proposition that the currency is going to have.
I can't remember what the translation is, but like a Satoshi, and this is the smallest unit of a Bitcoin, the 1/1,000,000th of a Bitcoin. The reason that you can buy $20 worth of Bitcoin, or you can buy $10 worth of Bitcoin, or you can buy $10 million worth of Bitcoin is because they have these, these 10 millionth units called Satoshis. One would presume that the creator of Bitcoin intended for transactions to potentially be quite small because he created units that are currently worth, I think, a 40th of a cent, right? So this way you could, the great vision I had for Bitcoin was, in social media, great comments. Sometimes there's something I can't just like a comment on Facebook. I can't just heart it on Twitter. I'd like to be able to, throw a dime at the person so that, they actually feel something. It was some real payoff. And then if 100 people threw a dime at somebody, then that comment would be of value. It would be something that people would be more likely to see. I wanted these micropayments on the internet, and my micropayments are gone.
Right, he said yesterday, we've got PayPal, we've got Visa. If you needed to buy a pack of gum or a soda, just use that. And I just, like, to me, that's not what this was supposed to be. We were supposed to have something that wasn't those things. It wasn't centrally controlled. And his belief yesterday was just like, that's not possible. And it just seems... It seems like they're selling themselves short as far as what the potential is here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that there's all... You should have all kinds of red flags and alarm bells going off whenever somebody says that they want to revert back to the legacy system, whenever we have decentralized technologies that are meant to be used and leveraged by the people to purchase their gum, to use these microtransactions. Because that's the whole thing. These currencies, cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, are supposed to be better. They're supposed to be technologically advanced. They're innovative. So when people are saying we need to revert back to PayPal or some of these other legacy financial systems, we're just going the wrong way. And I wanted to address something, Ian, sure, that you said earlier, too, about the massive on-chain scaling. Is it possible? Can Bitcoin compete with Visa, MasterCard, and the legacy systems? And there are, of course, some fears about how this scaling is going to take place, but I want to mention there is a company right now called Enchain. If anybody's never heard of Enchain, look into them. One of their...
How do you spell it?
Just an N, I and then chain.
The letter N?
Yeah, the letter N.
Okay.
Right. Now, one of the head members of Enchain, his name's John Matonis, and they've actually started a project to test massive on-chain scaling with Bitcoin on a test net.
Were these the people that did the 1 gigabyte block or whatever it was?
They were involved with Bitcoin Unlimited to a degree. I think some of them were involved with Bitcoin Unlimited to a degree. But these folks, they really believe that there's not going to be any problems with expanding and scaling Bitcoin the way that we want to scale it. Like I said earlier, it's a technical problem that is going to have challenges, just like every other internet application that needed to scale has had challenges. And there's always people who said these kind of things in the past when it involved the internet. Oh, the internet will never scale so that everybody can get involved with it.
Didn't Bill Gates historically say you'll never need more than 640K? I believe he did. Back when that, you know, the old DOS-based machines, that's all they had at the first level of RAM.
Right.
Hold on, Sterling. We're going to bring you back here for more from the Texas Bitcoin Conference, and because this discussion is just heating up, and we got 2 weeks until this fork, so more coming up.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy, and I panicked. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby, and I thought, what did I get us into? The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to give him the nutrition he needed. But I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
I ordered the first 90-day supply, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy. He just had a glow and a bounce about him. We've been using Dinovite for the last year, and Happy the rescue dog is Happy the healthy dog. I tell all my friends who have rescues to give their dog the chance at a new start with Dinovite. It's going to pay off for you and your dog for years to come.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DinoVite.com.
I got my Blink Home security system delivered right to my door. I downloaded the app, and it walked me right through the easy setup. Even with my complicated router system, I was done in like 10 minutes. Now it notifies me whenever something moves in front of the wireless cameras, or I can just check it whenever I want right from my phone. And I got you a deal. Get 3 Blink cams for what the other guys charge you for one, plus an extra 10% off. Visit BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL.
Dash is digital cash. A digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash at Dash.org and help build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at Dash.org.
Chad here, owner of Infidel Body Armor. With the shooting in Vegas, there will be calls to ban guns and body armor. You can expect prices to rise dramatically in the coming weeks as gun grabbers try to outlaw your freedom. If you don't have your armor kit yet, you are behind the curve. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com and click on Specials. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
Google has all but banned the movie series, What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. All kinds of interesting people with varying opinions at this particular event. What will be the future of Bitcoin? Will it stay on top forever? Probably not. It seems like, you know, the Model T didn't stay on top forever. And with all this internal fighting, it seems less and less likely that Bitcoin's going to stay on top. But there are people who obviously want that to happen. I mean, I want to see Bitcoin continue to succeed. But there's a lot of contention within the Bitcoin community. It's Ian and Mark here at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. We're Free Talk Live. And Mark, tell me about your Blink home camera system that that you installed recently.
Yeah, it's a multi-camera system that's in my house. It's completely wireless. Took me 10 minutes to set this thing up. I've got an app. I can look right now at my house. I can go see what's going on and make sure everything's fine. Plus, if there's movement on the cameras when I'm not there, I get a notification. That's pretty awesome. And, I just love it. It's great. You can go to blinkprotect.com/FTL. That's blinkprotect.com/FTL. There's a great deal. It's basically three cameras for the price of what the other guys are charging you for one camera system. So blinkprotect.com/FTL.
We got Sterling Lujan with us. He is the communications ambassador over at bitcoin.com. And you're kind of taking the other side. Yesterday we had John Sacco with us explaining why he doesn't believe that Bitcoin can scale over time to be the size of Visa. He sounds like he's given up on cryptocurrency. He just wants it to be a store of value. And I like what Roger Ver has said, who's one of the founders over there at Bitcoin.com, is that, you know, well, why would anybody want to store their value in something that's useless otherwise? I mean, Bitcoin used to be useful as a store of value and as a currency because you could spend it on anything. You know, in Keene, New Hampshire, where we're from, if you want to buy barbecue, pizza, you can get a massage, you can go to the auto repair shop. We've got real-life businesses that are accepting Bitcoin, but it's getting hard for me as an evangelist, as the person who's going and talking to these business owners, it's getting difficult for me to pitch Bitcoin. Bitcoin, simply because I know that the average person is not going to be excited about walking into Corner News, the little newsstand in Keene, picking a soda off of the rack and then taking it up to the cash register where they're then told, oh, that's going to be $2 instead of $1 because it's a $1 soda, but you got to spend a dollar on a transaction fee in order to send the Bitcoin.
That's just not viable. I'm already offended paying a full dollar for a soda. You're going to ask me for two?
Yeah.
That's four times what I want to pay.
So we were talking about this objection saying that, well, Bitcoin, the guy that we had on yesterday said, well, Bitcoin just can't scale to the size of Visa without going centralized. His concern is that, sure, you might be able to scale it, but then you have to have these mega corporations with these huge mining farms, and that cuts the average person out, meaning that it is no longer a truly decentralized currency. What do you say to that, Sterling?
Yeah, well, there are some potential problems with mining and how mining may become centralized. But here's the thing. If we're able to scale, massively on-chain scale Bitcoin, then we can really drive more people to create mining pools and to make more people involved in the ecosystem and really solve that problem just through massive on-chain scaling, just through massive adoption. So this idea that Bitcoin needs to remain a store of value and sort of give up and people giving up on it is just a tragedy, in my opinion, because we know that we can have technical solutions, just like the things we were talking about before. There are ways to solve these problems and to solve them and to move into the future and expand Bitcoin at the same time.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
That's right.
It seems to me that Bitcoin gets its value from being a currency. If it is not a currency, something that you can transact with back and forth, and that's what the suggestion here is that, oh, well, you can buy a car or you can buy a house with it. By the way, good luck finding somebody who's going to sell a car or a house for Bitcoin. But
it's happened. At least the car thing has happened.
I understand. They've sold a lot more sodas at Corner News than cars have been sold for Bitcoin in the world.
No doubt.
Okay, so I can compare soda sales in Keene, New Hampshire, and beat out car sales in the globe.
For sure.
So going back to my point, so Bitcoin has to be a currency in order to create value, because otherwise Bitcoin and the rest of these cryptocurrencies are simply essentially a commodity exchange online for imaginary crap.
That,
right?
I mean, well said.
That's just... Yep. There's nothing. If it's not a currency, it is nothing else.
That's right.
So you're selling, like what we do here on the air when we sell radio ads. You're selling air,
right?
And not even as useful as air, because you can breathe that in.
Right. It actually reminds, what you guys both said reminds me of something that Roger said a couple of times. Just because Bitcoin has the first mover advantage does not mean it's guaranteed to win, because what we're involved
sure.
with
we're
right now.
We're not driving Model Ts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we're in an environment now where we have truly competing currencies in an open market, and that hasn't existed in this form, in to this extent in the past, just because everybody and anybody can build without asking permission. They can build these blockchains, create cryptocurrencies, and move into the future. Like, for instance, if Bitcoin doesn't solve its problems, there's currencies like Nexus that are coming into the mix that actually are going to solve a myriad of problems, or are slated to solve a myriad of problems. This includes creating 3D blockchains, defeating possible problems with quantum computing and how quantum computing might be able to break elliptical curve cryptography. But, and if Bitcoin doesn't scale, if people don't work together, then it's just not going to win. And that's the exact reason why we've had user-activated hard forks and Bitcoin Cash came into existence, was because of this exact problem. That's why I have a lot of faith in Bitcoin Cash to grow. And a lot of people are like, oh, Bitcoin Cash is this Bitcoin crash. It just crashes all the time. It's not going to be a great currency.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. But here's one of the things that about
Bitcoin.
Probably
because I don't spend enough time on Twitter.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, it's all right. One of the things about Bitcoin Cash is, of course, it's going to start off kind of slow, but I still think its current market its current market capitalization is still pretty large. What is it, number four right now? And for just starting out and not having 9 years of infrastructure behind it is a pretty good sign that this is what people want on a market environment. We're just going to have to see how it moves into the future. But
isn't there a conference coming up that's going to be focusing on Bitcoin Cash? I thought I saw Roger or Bitcoin.com promoting there's some sort of Hong Kong conference coming up.
Yeah, I've heard of that too, but I'm not sure of the details either. And that's something I'd have to look into. Yeah. But I have heard whisperings of a potential Bitcoin Cash-based conference, and that would be a good thing.
Anytime that would be cool.
We would have a conference where we look at scaling and we talk about scalability and currencies that have already accomplished that.
Right, because Bitcoin Cash, I mean, you can have, what, up to 8 megabytes on the block size?
That's right, 8 megabytes.
And they even hit that recently.
That's right.
With one of the
Does
blocks.
That make it completely unusable, and the you know, it's going to be too big for nodes to exist, and I mean, all these other, the fear mongering that goes on with Bitcoin. I mean,
the fees are way down. Bitcoin Cash fees are very low, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The fees are low, and that reminds me of something. There is a group, or there's a couple of guys that I'm pretty good friends with, and they created a platform called Yours Network. It's a blogging platform. It's a little different from Steam, and it uses built-in paywalls, and they couldn't use Bitcoin for their paywall system because of the high transaction fees. The high transaction fees made that impossible for them to have a paywall feature where people use microtransactions to subsidize articles and writing. So we're already seeing how Bitcoin is missing the bus on these platforms because of the scalability problem. So they've actually started using, at first they started with Litecoin, but they didn't like Litecoin because they had all these edge cases with SegWit, because Litecoin, of course, uses SegWit in potential payment channels. So that didn't work out for them. So they went with Bitcoin Cash, but Bitcoin Cash is apparently working out for them really well. Recommend everybody to look into them. It's called Yours Network, and the founder is Ryan X. Charles. It's a cool platform.
Stick with us for some more, because I want to get into, you know, what's going to happen. Because his prediction was SegWit 2X isn't going to make it, that it's going to fork and then it's going to disappear because it won't be popular among the miners. I want to get your opinion on, you know, the future. We got this big fork's coming up in 2 weeks. More with Sterling Lujan from Bitcoin.com. This is Free Talk Live. We're at the Texas Bitcoin Conference.
Chad here, owner of Infidel Body Armor. With the shooting in Vegas, there will be calls to ban guns and body armor. You can expect prices to rise dramatically in the coming weeks as gun grabbers try to outlaw your freedom. If you don't have your armor kit yet, you are behind the curve. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com and click on Specials. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temp from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code Radio30 at the 3x for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're the Texas Bitcoin Conference day number 2. It is a hopping event, completely sold out of the Canyon View Event Center in Austin, Texas. The weather has actually been pretty cool this weekend, so we just hit a cool spell here in Texas, which was nice. We got Sterling Lujan with us. It's Ian and Mark in the studio. Sterling is the Bitcoin.com communications ambassador, and you're doing a fine job communicating from Bitcoin.com here. And Bitcoin.com, does it take an official position on the upcoming SegWit 2x fork, this big contentious potential split of Bitcoin that may be coming up here in about 2 weeks?
So our position is originally that was going to be an acceptable compromise, and we'd signed off, and the compromise was going to be fine. But now, and this is more of my personal opinion, and I think we'll find agreement largely at Bitcoin.com with this position. We already have Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash solved the problem immediately. We have massive...
solved the scaling problem.
That's right, 8 megabytes. And so it's doing what we need to do. So that's sort of what we're looking at as an acceptable measure, using Bitcoin Cash. So SegWit 2x is kind of, well, now we can just use that, those funds from when it forks off, just to buy more Bitcoin Cash.
So what's going to happen here, for those that don't know, is Bitcoin, again, has been having growing pains, and a bunch of companies and miners got together back in May, and they had this agreement saying, well, we're going to implement SegWit, which is segregated witness, a technical term for changing the Bitcoin protocol to supposedly improve scaling. It hasn't really done much so far. And then there's the 2x, which is the doubling the block size, which should allow for more transactions to get into the blocks, which in theory should also reduce the transaction fees, because Bitcoin's full, so doubling the block size should allow for more transactions to get processed per minute, per hour, per second. And so that's the plan, but there's been some people, Mark, as you pointed out, I think yesterday, some people who are some of the signers of that agreement have reneged, so they've said, well, no, we're not going to go through with this.
I would like to go on the record that if you signed an agreement and you don't fulfill that agreement, you're an a-hole.
Yeah, no doubt about that. However, I mean, would it be the worst thing in the world if the SegWit 2X doesn't go through? I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it not happen, because then we would have one fewer of these competing Bitcoins. And I'm sorry, the more of these Bitcoin forks we have, the more confusing the marketplace becomes. I understand choices are good, but in this case, I feel like they're also confusing. I don't know how to go to a new person and say, well, let me tell you about Bitcoin, and then also tell you about the other five Bitcoins that are out there. There aren't five yet, but supposedly, so we got Bitcoin, Bitcoin Core is kind of what the original Bitcoin was called. Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin Cash came out in August. Just last week, Bitcoin Gold. Now somebody's announced Bitcoin Silver for December. So like anybody who wants to just have a free money drop now is just going to, you know, fork off from Bitcoin. So the guy who we had on yesterday who does not support the SegWit 2X, he doesn't support the 2X side of things, he says he doesn't believe SegWit 2X is going to survive. That the fork may happen, but that if it doesn't get enough miner support, it's going to get kind of crushed out of existence, basically.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen in the next 2 weeks? Obviously, anybody's prediction is possible here.
Right.
So, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? What's likely to happen?
I think it's possible. I can get out my crystal ball and I can do my best job trying to guess at what's going to happen, but I think that it may survive. I personally don't really care about it. It just, like I said, insofar as just getting the funds that come from that and then putting them into Bitcoin Cash, because Bitcoin Cash
is really what
we care about. Well, yeah, it being, yes, SegWit 2X, and it could survive. I don't particularly care if it survives or not, because we already have Bitcoin Cash, and I just want to make that really clear. But to Ian's point also, having all of these splits and all of these forks, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing in the long term, because all it does is cause more confusion in the community. Like you said, people having to explain, all of us having to explain to people what all these different Bitcoins are, and then try to grapple with the technological differences between each one. That just causes, again, more confusion, more tedium, and it doesn't exactly encourage people to want to adopt Bitcoin and want to get into the ecosystem.
Right, that's confusion.
Yeah, it is. And then there's a lot of people who think, oh, it splits, and now we de facto get free money. We have to remember, every time these split as well, it causes more contention on the markets and actually can potentially dilute our other currencies when more are in circulation, until of course the price corrects and it goes up. Then you may have some sort of free money as a result, but I don't think it's ever a good thing to continually have to hard fork it over and over again just because some dude is afraid of Franken SegWit, right?
Yeah. I gotta work to get this stuff out of my Bitcoin, right? So like when you get if you have a half a Bitcoin or whatever the amount is, and then Bitcoin forks, you then have the same amount of Bitcoin of the original and then the forked thing. So you get the same amount. But in order to get access to it, you have to find a wallet that'll allow you to have access to it. And it's like, you know, a merchant asks me, how do I get my Bitcoin Cash? How do I get this Bitcoin Gold? And I'm like, well, there's no answer to the Bitcoin Gold question right now. Bitcoin Cash, you can use this wallet, but you got to jump through these hoops. And then, you know, it's just all this hoop jumping and ridiculousness. It's frustrating to watch this happen to Bitcoin, something that we all love and want to see be successful. So coming up in a couple of weeks, this big fork is going to happen. What ends up, you know, coming out of that is another question, because as Roger Ver from Bitcoin.com had pointed out during the Bitcoin Cash fork, he had pointed out that just because a mining pool operator says they're going to support this thing doesn't mean the individual miners have to. So even though 83% of the miner, or 85% of the mining pool operators have said they're going to support this SegWit 2X fork, that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to go along with the plan. So we could see anything. It could be 50-50. It could be, you know, solid 80% on one side or the other. I mean, who knows how this is going to play out in a couple weeks? And what will the price do? If we end up seeing a 50-50 split or close to it, you're going to see the difficulty of Bitcoin. For those that don't know, the mining difficulty gets more, you know, increases over time. And so if all of a sudden there's half as many people mining Bitcoin or the new SegWit 2X version of Bitcoin, doesn't that mean that it's going to be the blocks are going to come slower on both sides in that case, which could make both of those Bitcoins worth less, and maybe that could help Bitcoin Cash? Could Bitcoin Cash come to the rescue in a situation where you're seeing a contentious fork and ongoing fighting between the miners?
Yeah, that's true. If we already have Bitcoin Cash in existence and all this contention is causing slower activity and slower market adoption to the new fork, and people don't want to get involved in it, yeah, that could definitely bolster Bitcoin Cash, because it's already in existence, and the developers, people in the community and the ecosystem already have a knowledge of what it is and what it's there for, and it's so far. And I heard that it does look like Bitcoin Cash is going to fork. I don't know if that fork already happened or not, but it was definitely non-contentious.
Right, and that was a hard fork that everybody was on board with.
Right.
To upgrade the protocol.
That, yeah, right, that's right. So it looks like to me that that's something that, as far as what Ian's saying, that's something that's definitely acceptable, and I think that people will jump on to Bitcoin Cash and really bolster its price and stuff. If there's this fear-mongering and the infighting and the backbiting and the nastiness involved.
It's nasty.
Yeah,
it's so nasty, which is why I was glad when Bitcoin Cash finally, you know, forked off, because I was like, okay, fine. These people can now do their thing, and then the other people can do their thing, and they can get along. Well, turns out there's still people sniping at one another, and it's just...
It hasn't stopped. World War Geek is still a shooting war.
Yeah, it hasn't. So Bitcoin.com, of course, a great site to go and learn more. A lot of our listeners out there, they're brand new. This is information overload. We're doing our best to make it as palatable, as understandable as possible. And I think you've done a great job with that. Was there anything else that you felt like maybe we missed that we should have asked about, you know, what's coming up, or Bitcoin Cash? Anything you wanted to add in?
I think we really covered the basis as far as the forks are concerned, as far as the protocol upgrades are concerned. And it's just good to remember Bitcoin Cash and massive on-chain scaling was the original vision of Satoshi Nakamoto. And there was a purpose for that original vision, and it was to keep the economics of the system viable so everybody can get involved and leverage Bitcoin and enjoy Bitcoin. Whenever we try to create a coin that is not easily used, has high transaction times and high transaction fees, it just makes
it's going to drive people away.
It just makes it ugly. But you know, other than that, I just want to say that this conference so far has been great. I've enjoyed this chat with you guys. And if anybody wants to check out my talk, I'm going to be talking about the cypherpunk movement. I'm going to be talking about anarchism and how all of these concepts relate back to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and the trajectory of our movement.
Sterling Lujan from Bitcoin.com. More coming up here from the Texas Bitcoin Conference.
Earlier this year, after many years of conflict over the direction of Bitcoin, the creators of Bitcoin Cash did just what they were told to do. They forked off. Now there are two Bitcoins, the one that is run by the big bank Bassies, and Bitcoin Cash, the one that stays true to the creator's vision. Bitcoin Cash has surprised many with its relevancy and staying power, and the price reflects it. If you believe that Bitcoin was meant to be a low-cost, easy-to-use, peer-to-peer currency that could bring economic freedom to the world, you need Bitcoin Cash. Get your Bitcoin Cash wallet right now at Bitcoin.com.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching, I would recommend Dynavite.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Super Mega fish oil free.
Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from.
from or selling to. Sell unused household items as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, and real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at buysellmakeoffer.com.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, day number two, and just all kinds of interesting people here. Very, very popular event. It has sold out. It was sold out before it started, so that probably means there's going to be a fourth Texas Bitcoin Conference, would be my guess.
I think it's a fair bet.
At some point. So we've got old friends, we're meeting new people, and somebody we've had on the show in the past on more than one occasion, I believe, was is Dimitri. Is it pronounced Rasa?
Yep, Rasa.
Dimitri Rasa is with us now. Longtime listeners may remember him as one of the programmers behind the longtime Mycelium wallet, one of the more popular and longest-running Bitcoin wallets out there. So welcome back to Free Talk Live, Dimitri.
Thanks. Minor correction, I wasn't actually a programmer. I was lead product manager, so I manage the programmers. I have some programmer
but
background.
You know how to program.
I know how to program.
Yeah, you
got to
know how to program.
I manage the business side of it, how to get things done.
If you're going to be overseeing programmers, you probably should know how to program yourself.
Yeah. Right.
So, great wallet. I use it for a long time, and it's still out there, still going strong. But that's not what you're doing these days.
I stepped away from Mycelium in May, kind of pursuing my own thing. In Bitcoin, in this whole field, you have to have 100% trust in everything you do. As soon as your reputation takes a chink or whatever, you're basically dead. I think Mycelium is still tracking, doing what they need to do, but unfortunately they weren't as transparent as I was hoped they would
really?
Be, so that's why I decided to step away in case anything happens later on.
I stopped using their wallet when the fees started going up, and they didn't handle their fees in the same way that the blockchain wallet or the Airbits wallet did. I found that they were offering
Airbits
lower
did
fees.
Much better. Unfortunately, we actually used the Mycelium backend was a core client, And Mycelium used Core's built-in fee prediction, which was way too high at the time. They did fix it eventually. I think in August they came out with an update. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you're on your own now. You were going to be speaking here at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, but like me, you got bumped from the speaking schedule. So nobody's going to get to hear your speech unless they're listening here, because Mark has asked you on to kind of give us the radio version, the summarized executive summary of what you were going to be talking about. So what were you going to be talking about?
I was going to be on a speech about future of Bitcoin, basically predictions of where Bitcoin is going in the future, what's going to happen with it. So a lot of people are asking, like, you know, is it going to be worth a lot?
Is it going to tank?
Is it going to tank? Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Because there's a big controversy. We've been talking this weekend, and we'll continue over the next couple of weeks about this fork that's coming up in a couple of weeks that could tear Bitcoin apart. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? What do you think?
I did end up being put on a drama panel, which actually covered a lot of the fork questions. My speech was going to be a little bit more, not near term, but overall. To begin with, I wanted to point out that I have an experience and a lot of background in not just programming, but finance, economics, game theory, social history, culture, stuff like that. So what I have noticed pretty much everywhere throughout history, regardless of politics, regardless of where you live, even regardless of religion, is that people have incentives to increase their own comfort and to try to decrease their own discomfort. And this is universal everywhere.
Sure.
And the reason this is important is any kind of free market trade, if both people are fully aware of what's going on, they will trade if there's an incentive to improve their comfort, and they will not trade if it's going to cause them discomfort. There's also the Bitcoin itself has a lot of incentives built into it where people will want to trade, like miners are mining not because they want to support the network, they're mining because they have an incentive to earn money.
Sure.
People who adopt Bitcoin use are not doing it because they want to, not necessarily because of their ideology, but because it saves them money and it removes a lot of discomforts. One of the discomforts is, do I actually have control over my money or not? One of the comforts is I can easily send money to somebody else without having to pay massive fees or having to wait a lot of days. So in theory,
I just went outside and it was going to be $3.50 to send some Bitcoin. So I said, you know what? I'll pay cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but that's not what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah. That's kind of my concern with regards to part of the reason why I'm not too happy with what people in charge of Bitcoin are currently doing. As I mentioned on my on the panel just a couple of minutes ago, I am concerned that people who don't care about privacy will care more about convenience, comfort, and being able to use a currency that is more comfortable, even if it doesn't give them as much of the ideological issues that we here are trying to fight for. So I'm hoping long-term people who are working on Bitcoin will realize this problem and focus on supporting customers, basically, as opposed to supporting a specific ideology. Because the worst-case scenario is government coin. It works as easily as Microsoft Windows does for people who just don't need all the fancy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bitcoin just becomes kind of its own, possibly even banned kind of a deal.
So you think it might get banned in the future?
I mean, eventually, yeah, of course. With regards to incentives, there's always an interplay where some people try to kind of create what they believe is a better outcome for everybody else, and they either force this through a small group, such as a totalitarian government, or through a group that's represented by a bunch of people who vote for it. Problem is, for them, our overall comforts, the whole economy type of deal, like people try to force things to happen in economy. The economy doesn't give a crap because people are going to be fighting for their own incentives. Eventually,
sure,
that kind of fights back, pushes back. That's where Bitcoin comes in. And in the long term, the majority of people who are being forced against have a much higher incentive to push back than the people who are doing the forcing.
Sure.
Regardless of whether that's people who are voting for that group to do the forcing. That's also why in a regulatory environment, the corporations who have regulations pushed against them have a much bigger incentive to try to capture the regulatory environment and change regulations to help them, then the people, those regulations are supposed to help. So, you know, that's not going to work. So with regards to Bitcoin, the future part of it, yeah, that's predicting what's going to happen is kind of a no-brainer if you look at it from this perspective. Regardless of what governments who try to ban it or control it are going to do, the fact is there's a lot more people who will have a much higher incentive to get comforts from Bitcoin than there are people who want to control their positions of being able to print money and push people around. The more kind of a step up from this whole incentive structure is how do we actually create these specific incentives to kind of lead us where we want to lead, not follow what the comforts are, but create incentives. And this
to
is where
create
I would
incentives
ask,
for people to get into Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies.
How do we change the world
okay.
using incentives? This is where the next portion of my speech would go into
yeah.
is Bitcoin, proof of work. What is actually being proven in proof of work?
That you were crunching numbers.
You got
right?
big money to buy ASICs.
The whole proof of work is not the hash. It's you are proving that you have the fastest hardware and the cheapest electricity. That's all. At the core, that's proof of work,
okay.
what it is. So the incentive for Bitcoin is to create faster and faster processors and find cheaper and cheaper electricity.
Mm-hmm.
If you could look at it this way,
that's a good thing.
From long term, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Miners already actually, unfortunately, I don't have the article on me, but back in 2014 when ASICs came out, or a little bit after ASICs came out actually, both AMD and Intel had their own roadmap for the one they were going to release 16 nanometer chips, and that was going to happen around spring, I believe, of 2015. Because miners pushed the foundry development so hard to get ASICs mined, they actually came out with that 16-nanometer stuff like half a year earlier.
And that's a very, very small measurement that keeps getting smaller over time.
That 16-nanometer is the size of the chip that does all the processing. So the smaller the chip, the faster it goes. So
and the more efficient.
And
right.
the more efficient.
Yeah.
Thanks to Bitcoin, effectively, we managed to push processors 6 months ahead of when they were actually scheduled to came out.
Okay.
That's
so,
a hell of a claim, yeah.
So we already have
that's a big accomplishment.
A big benefit, like everything we use right now is 6 months faster than it would have been without Bitcoin.
Okay.
In the future, I see the exact same thing happening where miners will have to compete against each other by putting money into developing faster processors. And as a result, we'll benefit from that too. Likewise, miners are competing on cheaper and more efficient sources of energy. So in the long run, the way to win in the mining game is to have faster electricity and figure out how to get better and faster, cheaper energy. And, I mean, I'm not really an environmentalist, but what's cheaper than, you know, cheap renewable solar or whatever. So I can definitely see miners putting money into the research of stuff that...
I know miners were trying to find hydropower. I mean, I was contacted.
A lot of them are actually using hydropower. The biggest mine in U.S. is hydropower, too.
Yeah.
So long-term incentives, we get faster processors, cheaper electricity. The rest of us benefit from that as well. Understand this dynamic, what is proof of work for?
Hold that thought.
Yes.
You have more to say, right? So hang on. We're going to come back with Dmitry Rasa. This is Free Talk Live at the Texas Bitcoin Conference.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Chad here, owner of Infidel Body Armor. With the shooting in Vegas, there will be calls to ban guns and body armor. You can expect prices to rise dramatically in the coming weeks as gun grabbers try to outlaw your freedom. If you don't have your armor kit yet, you are behind the curve. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com and click on Specials. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.